Hey, this is Config from North, and you're listening to The Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 162 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, June 17th. The time, 8:48 p.m. Central Standard Time. This will be one of the best episodes. It might be the best episode ever, as we will discuss Smash Summit 8, one of my favorite events of the year. It's the thing everyone is talking about, the esports bubble. It's bound to pop. This whole why are we even doing the podcast anymore? Esports is dead. We should just quit. So we'll discuss that. And to start the show, we're going to discuss CWL Anaheim as that wrapped up. Plenty to talk about there. But before we do that, let's introduce everyone. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your host for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, is my best bud, my brown bud, Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, bud? I feel like I'm always going to be the favorite, though, now, you know? Like, it's a little bit cheating.
That's the bit. Now you get it. Now you get it. But you'll always be my brown bud. So,
that
you got
can't
that.
Be taken away.
That, no matter what. That cannot be taken. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I had a good little birthday week. And
That's right. It's a birthday month. It's a very celebratory month for us.
It is.
Your birthday is last week. My birthday is this week. We got E3.
Wife's birthday, anniversary. It's like, a lot going on this month. June
is
a
busy month. We're trying to leverage all of that to go to E3 next year. Like, hey, we're trying to talk to the wives. Why don't you, you know what? There's this thing. We need it for the podcast. We need it.
It's big.
And, they don't know, right? So we can easily convince
Look,
them.
Next E3 is going to be the Halo event of the year.
We have to
we
go.
We have to be there for it.
We have to go.
There for it.
They just don't understand. Oh, good times. Good times with our dumb wives. Idiots. They don't know anything about video games.
I love you, baby, even though you're not listening.
Yeah, there's no way either one of them listened to this podcast. we're growing, but not that much. Not to the point where our wives feel entitled to listen. Follow us, though, on social media, if you don't mind, at The Center Ring on Twitter. And our Discord link is there as well. So feel free to join that, be part of the conversation. It's always happening in there. Quick show announcement before we get into CWL. We have a new partnership that we were happy to announce. We have partnered with Thrive Fantasy. They are a daily prop betting sports website. They do, or in an app, I should say. They are now venturing into esports, as all the cool kids are doing, even though this bubble's about to pop. It's like they haven't even heard of that yet. And so they do traditional sports. So if that's your thing, awesome. They have that option. But they also are getting into esports. And the cool thing about that is not only do we have a code ourselves. So you download the app as you create the account. You enter in the code TCR. You will get $10 for your first $10 you put in. So you put in $10. You get $10. You have $20. You responsibly bet. You get some more dollars. And then before you know it, you're retiring early in Fiji.
That's how
gambling goes, if you're responsible about it, of course, and of the legal age for your respective area. Can't stress that enough. Also, though, they are, like I said, getting into esports, so sometimes, most of the time, you can go in there and you don't even have to pay anything to bet on these things because they're just kind of testing out their systems. But guess what? You could still win money. So I've done it already. You go in, you gamble, you don't pay a dime. And then if you're top three or whatever of the pool, you'll get some cash coming your way, baby. So it's cool. It also is bragging rights, so you can brag to your friends that you actually know what you're talking about. Or if you're like me, it does the exact opposite, and you never tell people your betting results because you think, come on.
We won't look like pros anymore.
No, yeah. Then people really won't know what... Then people really know what we that we don't know what we're talking about. Right now, we can at least pretend and make them believe it. But go ahead, check them out. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E. I'll also tweet it out on the show's Twitter for this episode. Use the promo code TCR if gambling's your thing. If not, that's cool. Just remember to gamble responsibly, people. Let's get into the content of this episode, though, if you don't mind, Anuj. As we break down CWL Anaheim, this just wrapped up over the weekend. Man, I'm not going to lie. I know this happens every Call of Duty event, but boy, doesn't it make you really want to play?
You know, I thought about re-downloading it again. We were that close.
I've never uninstalled it.
See, I uninstalled it. I moved on from it. Like, I'm just ready for the next game at this point. You know, I've gotten my 6 months of play in. They waited too long for league play, as we've mentioned a bajillion times up until this point. So I kind of moved on from it. But yeah, you know, you watch these events and the action is just so good at COD events. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good teams right now that helps. And then like the popular teams are also good currently. So again, that helps anytime you have Optic playing at a high level. I mean, it just gets the fan involvement that much more, which means the hype is that much more. So it definitely gets you involved. And then, you know, again, 100 Thieves, kind of the newcomer to the group, have gained so much popularity. They're just coming off of a win in the previous CWL event. And so, you know, they had something to prove for themselves. So there was just a lot going on at the event. It was a fun one to watch.
Some of these marquee matchups, right? You bring up the big teams, okay? These are just some of the matchups. You had Optic versus FaZe. You had Optic versus 100 Thieves, Optic versus E United. It's like right there, and of course I know all of those have Optic in it, but it's for a good reason, right? That obviously Optic is all in the news and everything, but it's just insane with the... And then you also had Optic FaZe again, so they played the winners and then losers, right? Part two, you had rematches. So it's like you did have the juggernauts of the Call of Duty world really duking it out here at the end, which... always makes for an exciting one. And that's one thing too. Like I'm watching this and it's normally like in a CWL event, I always feel like a top team ends up being out of the top five for the event. And it's always like some ridiculous reasoning for right. There's always an excuse tied to it, but man, in this one, I feel like they really stayed in there a lot longer than normal. The brackets were loaded, right? It wasn't decided in pool play. Right. I feel like Anaheim was really up into the brackets.
Yeah. Pool play, the only really crazy pool was D. I mean, D was actually stacked from head to toe. It had 100 Thieves, Gen G, both teams that made it to the finals were in the same pool. And then Luminosity, who's won a CWL event, and then Envy, who's kind of notoriously just always been good at COD, right? Always had a competitive team.
Yeah, but they're are they as good as we want to claim them to be right now?
No, they're terrible right now. They got
I know they've made some roster changes recently, but
didn't do anything. I mean, they went 0-3 in pool.
And they are losing I mean, just looking on boards and stuff, man, they are losing, if not have already lost the confidence of the fan base.
Oh, they had an 0-6 run at this event, right? They went 0-3 in pool play, then they came out and went 0-3 against Team Reprosity in the first round of the losers bracket. So they really had a bad showing, so you kind of just erase your memory from this event when it comes to Envy. But overall, we you know, I feel like I left pretty satisfied watching the event. I mean, did you not feel that way coming out of there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's one of those events where I was honestly more hyped throughout than it was when it finally got to the grand finals. You know, it was one of those where you were almost more excited for the semifinals and quarterfinals of the losers bracket than you were for the grand finals.
We had, like you mentioned, the Optic FaZe, the first time they played, I guess, was in round two, and that went five, you know, that went the full five games, and you really had, I mean, that was a reverse sweep. So that started off FaZe winning the first two matches, and Optic came roaring back to take the final three.
FaZe, it's like they forgot how to trade. Like, in that last Search and Destroy map where Optic ended up winning it, it was like, guys, just trade one fight. And FaZe, you would have been moved on. You would have made it to the next round of the championship bracket. But it's like, it looked like there was no communication on the FaZe side. I was ready to pull my hair out.
It did give us the best ending, I think. It gave us the highlight moment of the tournament in my mind, though. The way it ended on that Search and Destroy, you had Skump come down to a 1v1. And what a fantastic ending, because he was really, you know, in a bad position for where he was at with the weapon he was using. He was outgunned in that situation and was able to pull it off. And man, the crowd just roared when he pulled it off. So it gave us some great moments. Yes,
and we've been at CWL events when Optic doesn't make it.
It's
ruined. Dead. Like you could be the biggest Call of Duty fan in the world and hate Optic, right? But when that Optic crowd decides, you know what, we're done. Oh, we're eliminated already. We got sixth place, and they go home early. The event is dead. Like,
or they just
from that point
cheering,
on,
right? Maybe they're still there in numbers, but they're not like
they're not going hyped
rooting
or crazy
for a team. Yeah,
and you even see it on the stream, right? Dead. Like you see the stream viewership dip when Optic's not in it. So anytime Optic can make it, it's always entertaining. Like if they could just always make it to the grand finals, but then lose. That's ideal situation for me. You get the hype, you get the viewership, but then they lose.
It was unfortunate that we didn't get the rematch in the finals. Like I was really hoping for 100 Thieves versus like Optic Gaming in the finals. Gen G definitely played the spoiler there. They had a fantastic tournament though. I mean, those guys had two SMG players, and it was Havoc and I forgot the other guy's name. I don't know him all by heart, but those guys lit it up this tournament. Yeah, probably. I think it was Envoy. Those guys really had a fantastic tournament. I mean, Gen G was pretty lethal throughout. I mean, their only stiff competition for them, you know, really felt like 100 Thieves, who swept them in the semis and then took them 3-1 in the finals. And so we had good matches all the way through. I think up until the finals, 100 Thieves just kind of outclassed everybody. Their ICR play was fantastic. Octane, I don't know. He didn't get back to back. I don't think he got MVP. Who got MVP? Slasher for them? I don't know.
Yeah,
a lot
Slasher
of them had...
got. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure Slasher got MVP.
Yeah, I think Slasher did get it. And you know, to see Kenny S kind of rebound from a really tough start to early in the year, to kind of finding his new way with the Maddox play. Like these guys were just on another level. This tournament looked really really good. And for Nadeshot, could you ask for kind of a better storyline in COD for him, right? Like they're knocking out teams like Optic that he was with before and made his name there, and then really looking dominant now.
Well, even outside of Call of Duty too, right? Optic is going through their shaky grounds right now. Are the players even going to stick with the org as far as Call of Duty is concerned?
Yeah.
And even though Nade loves all those guys, right? But you gotta think they're also competition, right?
Yeah.
He
wants to beat them.
Yes, he is. His mouth is watering a little bit at all those fans that are like, well, you know what? If Optic is dead, I'm going to move to the closest thing. And baby, that's 100 Thieves. So
that's close enough, right?
You know, Nade is like, whew, you know what? I feel bad for you, Greenwall, but I'll gladly take you in. Why don't you join the Red Army?
Nade is definitely rooting for Optic all the way up until the point they play with each other. I mean, it only makes sense to have both of those teams, you know, standing at the end just to make for a fun event. You know, it's good again to see FaZe perform well. I think the biggest disappointment of the tournament, take Envy out of the mix, they just weren't at the tournament basically, would be EUnited. I think a lot of people were hoping and thinking that Clayster would be able to make it over the hill at this tournament, especially they had such a good showing at the last CWL event. For them to get knocked out the way they did by Optic is probably pretty heartbreaking. You could see how upset like players like Pristini and these guys were. You know, it's unfortunate. I feel like it's always with them. It's always like the second they do bad, it's a roster change is needed, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see what.
And you know, that and they're very vocal about that too, is that they don't handle defeat well at all.
No.
Right? So they have to come out into an event hot or it's GG. And you see that in their finishes, right? It's like they either get, you know, sixth place or first or second. Like it never seems like there's an in between for E United. They either get fifth, sixth, or first or second. And it's all depends
not first
on how
or second. It's a change that's coming. You can kind
right.
of already see
and,
writing
you
on can, the wall.
And they've said like it. You know, they're even toxic about it at the event. Right. Yeah. They don't even like wait to hide it. It's they get to the, you know, they do poorly. They started off in brackets losing to Gen G, which again, in retrospect, well, they made second place. They made the grand finals. Like, don't hold your head, you know, don't hang your head on that. But at the time, you know,
disappointing loss.
United should have won. You they dominated Heretics, but then lose to Optic. Right. So it's just,
you know, it's one of those teams that you like. Put Twitter away after the match,
right?
You know, don't like tweet anything out. And they do. They mentioned that, you know, it didn't
feel
right.
They're an honest
team, whatever you want to say.
Right?
They really are. Like, they let their feelings be known.
The fans cannot tell them anything that they haven't already said about themselves. So, but I love United. I think they're one of my more exciting teams to watch as far as Call of Duty goes, for sure. Now, you did say the best finish was for Skump when Optic played FaZe. I would like to counter you with LG and
the coach.
Yes.
That was pretty great. That was.
With,
it just
with
wasn't awesome branding.
With UYU. Is that how you say their name, by the way?
Lord.
I don't want to get butchered for saying
just,
something
we'll
wrong.
We'll go with UYU to be safe.
All right. We're rebranding them if that's incorrect here on TCR. It's official now. Anyways, so in the loser's bracket, first round of the loser's bracket, LG versus them. And LG has their coach, Ricky, filling in. All right? So, obviously, you're going in as the underdog instantly. Your coach is filling in. But the upset happened. It went to a game five. Last round, it was a 2v1. LG had one guy alive, and it was their coach. Do you think their confidence level was high at all?
Headsets were already being put down at that point, you would think.
Controllers being disconnected.
They were done. Like, everyone's getting their peripherals and moving on.
And spoiler alert, he did the impossible. He got the 2v1 clutch and sent UIU home. LG went on to the next round only to lose to FaZe 3-1, but it doesn't matter. They won the tournament in their eyes at that point. Like, you're playing with a substitute. It's your coach, and I get it. Like, Ricky could probably handle himself in about any pro situation, but he's a coach for a reason, right? And it's not like he's warming up or practicing with the team as if he was a player still, right? So for to fill in, it's huge. I mean, look at Yanko when he filled in for FaZe and Counter-Strike a couple tournaments ago, right? It's like you took what you got. Like,
which wasn't much. But you took what you got.
And that's a former pro, and he still is around the game. So it's like when these coaches fill in, you just kind of ruffle their hair and say, go get them, kiddo.
You never want them to be the last person alive in an elimination situation in a best of five. Like, that was really the worst case scenario for LG at that point when he was the last man standing.
And so he
pulled through.
I have the audio clip of that clutch right now. So let's listen to it, and you can just hear the casters, like, it's audio, but you can almost visualize just the
oh, you'll feel it. You'll feel it with this.
It's all up to Rick here. He's going to have to engage. He's got to go. There's one. Oh,
wait.
Heal up.
1v1. Oh, my God.
So you hear that level of hype, right? And then think of the exact opposite. And that's what UIU looked at that very moment. Like, you never seen a more defeated team than that. Like, I think they would rather have just gotten, like, swept by a team without their coach's sub at that point.
Didn't want methods looked pretty heartbroken at that point after that play. And again, who wouldn't be? That was a tough situation for for them to find themselves in and losing that. Again, personally, I'm still going to take Skump's 1v1 just because it is Skump. It's still Optic. The crowd, you know, you have the caster hype in that moment.
He didn't eliminate them from the tournament, though. He just sent them to the lower bracket.
He did send them to the lower bracket.
They weren't sent home by a substitute coach.
That is true. Again, Skump is God, though. You know, Skump is God when it comes to COD. To find him in any 1v1 situation to take it to advance, it means something. But we, again, overall, impressed with the tournament, impressed with the crowd. I thought the crowd, when Optic mm-hmm. was at least on the stage, was super impressive and kept it fun and active. And so,
it's somewhat a shame, man, that we're already on the downhill side of this lifespan for Black Ops 4, because I'm not going to lie, dude, I'm still enjoying it. It kind of sucks that it's going away so soon. I know Modern Warfare is coming out, so everyone's really hyped. And from what I've heard from people who have privately seen more about it, are saying that it's exactly what you want in a Call of Duty game. Now, hopefully that means it's sticking around more than just one life cycle of a game, right? But like, I feel like right now, Black Ops 4 is almost, if not perfectly balanced. The amount of guns you see, the ICR, the Matix, I haven't even played it.
SOG.
The SOG, yeah. Thank you. You're seeing people having sniper play. I would still like to not see operators.
Sniper play feels a little overrated in this COD to me. Doesn't feel like as meaningful.
But you still see it.
You do. You see Dashy and players like Zero and these guys like using it. But I agree. It does feel like a well-balanced game. Like, it's still a fun game. I am ready, I think, for the next COD, though. I mean, I think I'm
just
ready.
Give me
for
no classes.
They've been working on like the engine, they said, for like 5 years for this particular one. I have really high expectations for the next COD.
Right.
And I think I'm just excited for franchising in general. Like, I'm excited to see how that route goes and kind of what that does for the COD scene. So, you know, bring on next season. But I still hope we still have Miami coming up. Mm-hmm. Is the next CWL event. So we still have some fun ahead of us. And look, a chance for a three-peat's like really unheard of. I mean, it just does not happen often in COD. So for 100 Thieves, you know, they have a lot to play for. And then again, for Optic, like, the storyline's just not going to end. You know, these guys have one more opportunity to make a final run, at least under this banner. We'll see what happens to them going forward. So CWL Miami is going to be a show, man. It's going to be a good one. There's a lot on the line for a lot of teams there.
And that is if they can even make it there, because if you are listening to the critics and everyone else out there on the interwebs, esports is just doomed to fail. It's, you know, will we even make it to CWL Miami before every dollar in esports is spent? I don't know. I wish I had the answer. But let's discuss this esports bubble. Now, this all started from an article on Kotaku, a very well-written article by an author I don't know. But go ahead and Google it to give them credit, why don't you? And it basically, the theme of the article was esports. We're in a bubble. I mean, they got opinions from everyone within the industry, right? So it's not like this author who doesn't know what they're talking about. It was a well-written article, and I do agree with some of it. But basically that esports is in this bubble that tons of money is coming in, right? You have millions upon millions of dollars getting dumped into this industry, but then there's not seeing enough turnaround, like, as far as investment goes. Esports just doesn't know how to monetize and create revenue in general. And that's where they come into discussion of this esports bubble popping. And then what's going to happen? Are we going to see corrections? What's the right way to fix this, right? That is now become the hot topic in not just inside of esports, but even outside, right? You're seeing a lot of business articles being written about it. Anuj, I would like to say that me and you have been around esports from just darn near the beginning. Little background, I turned 29 in 3 days, June 20th. Anuj, you just turned, what, 21? 19?
19, 20, right around there. 34.
34, last week.
34.
Mm-hmm. So, for all things considered, we're old when it comes to esports. Like, we are the veterans of the business. And we've seen it when it was tiny, tiny tournaments being played in Best Buys and Blockbusters to going to the Hilton Anatole or the Embassy Suites ballroom thinking it will never get bigger than this. Like, esports has made it to the first time, like, it was referenced on ESPN. Like, my mind was just blown, right? It's like, nope, we made it. We are official. It's real. And then that all went sweeping away at one point in time. If you remember, or any listener out there, in 2007, the CGS, the Championship Gaming Series, started. This was something brought on by investors. I think I remember reading like $50 million were invested into this. You had region-based teams. Gee, where did you hear that one before, right? Franchising, Overwatch League, right? Again, it's all cyclical, right? This all comes full circle eventually. You had teams based in Dallas, Chicago, Los Angeles, Complexity, right? They owned the LA team. 3D owned New York. You do have these esports people that were still around in 2007, invested in this league. How could it fail? Well, it lasted two seasons and bombed. So the reason I bring this up to discuss, to start the discussion, is you're going to hear, you're going to get opinions from people saying, well, I guess esports is exactly what we thought it was. It's a bust. It's not going to succeed. It's just kids with money. And the reason I bring up these old arguments from 2007 is you had guys like Jason Lake invest into this and it still failed. Just like Jason Lake is still around and now he's partnered with the Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones money. Just because a bubble is about to pop does not mean the industry is about to shatter, right? There's a difference in popping and shattering.
It's a correction is usually what happens, right? So it's not like, we've seen mainstream esports prior, you know, to the past 5 years. We saw CPL on, you know, I believe they did like an MTV event back in the day. You saw Halo 2 on USA with the MLG, you know, finals. Like we saw
ESPN
some of this stuff.
In like 2006 used to have an MLG section for Halo.
Yeah. And so we've seen like esports in the mainstream for a long time. I think a lot of the growth is due to like Twitch popularity. I believe Twitch has played a bigger role than anybody can imagine within esports. But when they say the bubble is going to pop, I really think it's like we're going to see more of a correction. Like right now, money is flowing in at a really high rate. Like you see some of the funding that's coming in for a lot of these teams. I mean, you see 10, 20, 30 plus million dollars being thrown at a lot of these teams and they have to figure out ways to monetize and you know what's best suited for them. But I think ultimately what you're going to see is a correction of some sort to kind of bring it back to a level field. When hype is high, this is what happens in any industry though, right? This is not like an esports issue. It's just kind of the way, you know, things tend to work right now. People see an opportunity. So you're going to see people coming from all walks of life, whether that be mainstream advertisers like MasterCard, Samsung, State Farm, like everybody wants a piece of it right now. So everybody's going to find a way to get involved. And what is that going to do? When everybody wants to be involved, it's going to drive up prices. You see that with Overwatch League. We're seeing that with Call of Duty franchising numbers right now. Like when people want in, it's going to drive the value up. Now, ultimately, you know, what needs to happen is these people need to see some high level of return on investment. If you don't see it, that's where you see things like what's happening with Optic Gaming, right? Like Optic isn't a bad organization. They were just kind of poorly managed. Now, doesn't mean they're going to die off. What ended up happening here? Another company has now bought them out, a little bit of a lower value than what I think a lot of people anticipated them being bought out at. But there's still like financial incentive for them to go spend $40 million on Optic's brand. Why is that? Because the brand has a value behind it. So I think ultimately what we see here is just a correction, not necessarily a burst, but some normalization in what we see from a financial perspective.
And I think you're, when all the dust settles, I think what you're going to find is a clear line between the top organizations and everyone else. Because that's part of the issue, right? Is everyone says, well, how can you monetize esports? Which it is an issue, right? Because let's be real. When was the last time you paid to watch esports online?
You don't.
You don't. So, you have all these viewership numbers, right? Look at, you know, and that's the other thing, too, is it's really easy to fluff these numbers, right? Look at Facebook. Remember when ESL signed an exclusive deal with Facebook and everyone freaked out? And then they were like, guys, don't worry. Look at these numbers. It's like 2 billion viewers, right? Well, that's because the way Facebook counts a view is that if you click on it, or not even click on it, if you just scroll past it, that's a view. If you share it on your page, not only is it a one view because of you sharing it, it's another view for your buddy seeing it, right? And so it's like, that's a 2-for-1 view. Like, look up the algorithms on how Facebook does their video numbers. That's exactly how they do it. So it's really easy to fluff these numbers for investors to get involved. And then what happens? ESL gets 6,000 viewers per video. And of those 6,000 viewers, how many of them are really paying that much attention to the advertising going around in it and then act on that advertising? I doubt it's below 1%. Right.
And you know what that is? They also did a bad job of like marketing Facebook as like a premier place to go watch it. I bet there were more than 6,000 people looking for it on Twitch than there were even watching it on Facebook, you know? And so, but yeah, like I agree. Like all these people are going to make wild and outrageous deals right now because, again, people are offering it up. You know, right now, I almost feel like it's only beneficial to like the peripheral companies like the Logitech, the Steel Series, the Razors. Like when I see their ads, it feels like it makes sense to like be on a lot of these platforms, right? Because I see something cool for like the new Logitech wireless mouse. Okay, I might go
right
grab that because that's something that I want. It's finding a way for the companies that are not really directly related to esports. Like, how is this going to be profitable for them long term? And I guess that's kind of where a lot of the concern is. You mentioned like organizations, how we're going to see that split between like top tier and everybody else, basically. I think that's also something that's going to change. I don't think we're going to see many new organizations just pop up and like grow organically. You're not going to have a ton of that. Like, it's really going to be somebody tossing a ton of money somewhere to kind of get into play. Like, look at how it is with League of Legends and trying to get a spot in there. Overwatch, trying to get a team in Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. Counter-Strike, it's so brutal in Counter-Strike being a no-name organization trying to climb your way up. Your players are going to get bought out well before you ever have a chance to make a name for yourself, you know? And so a lot of that, you know, is just going to kind of, I feel like, vanish. You're going to have like the top tier organizations where all the money is at. And then you'll really just have everybody else. And we're kind of already seeing that now, right? Like, what was the last new organization that popped up that even comes to mind? I can't even think of the last one.
Well, because even like I was going to say MIBR, but that's just an off branch of Immortals.
Immortals, right? Yeah.
If anything, that's proof that they found a way to market, right? They said, why call ourselves Immortals when we can literally lock up the entire Brazilian fan base by calling ourselves Made in Brazil, right?
They just forgot to be good.
they forgot that whole part, but you don't need that when you got Brazil in your name. I mean, Cloud9's made their entire career off of being the NA organization, right? So, and look at how they're ending up. But you also brought up something. I forgot the exact point, but it was making me wanting to say this next part is with these... Oh, buying out the players. That's what you brought up. Buying out these players' contracts. Well, contracts is another huge, huge money sink right now in esports. And it's not just player contracts, right? It's content creator contracts, player contracts, whoever, right? That's a big thing that I believe happened to Optic Gaming is they had all these content creators on their content team just making outrageous money and not bringing in anything.
They had a quality versus quantity issue.
Exactly. And I'm going to bring up recently the Tfue suing FaZe argument, right? Where FaZe's huge counter to Tfue's claim was like, look, we could have taken all your money, but all we've taken was 60,000. Well, right there, don't you think that's probably an issue just in general, like as a business practice? Like, if you're signing a contract, probably should stick with it. And like, dude, this is your chance to make that money back. Whether or not it's a crap contract, that's not what I'm arguing at this point. It's just there's your mentality in esports, right? It's also buddy-buddy. It's, you know what, Anuj? You've been with me through the whole way. I'm going to hook you up. Don't you worry. I'm gonna set you up. You're going to be good. Whether or not the dollar signs make sense, whether or not you're going to be able to bring that back to me, it's just such a... I think some orgs have issues with this buddy-buddy, we're a family mentality, and it's just money going everywhere and not enough coming back in.
Yeah, I think on the flip side of that is we're also seeing a lot of orgs take proper like business measures now that we never saw before. Team Envious being like the perfect example, you know, bringing in Jeff Moore, bringing in some of the people that they brought in to like properly run it as an entity and a business.
Complexity,
you know, being a huge one. 100 Thieves, same thing. Like, yeah, Nadeshot is like the face of it. They have proper business minds, you know, behind
even Immortals,
companies.
Right? That's what happened with Noah, their old owner, is they pretty much weaseled his way out because, you know, that now they have proper business and they're making investments out the wazoo. But I think that's also a huge thing, right? So for people who are new to esports or maybe just weren't as in tuned with it, right? Back in the day, and I say back in the day, because really this whole like esports blowing up to me started within like the last 5 years. Really blowing up, right?
Yeah, that's because that's when you had League of Legends, Dota 2, and Counter-Strike Global Offensive all came out.
Right.
The Twitch boom all happened in the past 5 years, really.
And that's what
five, seven years, 2012, I guess.
You know, you had like the .com boom. I'm going to call this the Twitch boom era because you're really, it's true, right? Streamers, Ninja, Shroud, all these guys. That's kind of where it's all started, right?
Look at prize pool money from the time Twitch started to now. I think it like at the time that Twitch started, total prize pool money in tournaments was under $10 million across all of esports. Okay, this is like all of esports. I think within the first year it doubled. By the third year it had quadrupled. I think it was up to like $40 million in prize pool money. From the moment Twitch started, it was around $5 million. So I mean, Twitch has played a huge role in the growth of esports because we've been able to kind of get in touch on a more personal level with players and organizations, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think the other factor that comes into this is, you know, back when it was very taboo to hire from outside of esports. Like if you were an org or an event or anything like that, and you brought in a stage host not involved with esports, right? Or a desk host not involved with esports. If you hired, for example, if Envy hired Jeff Moore, who brought in the Dallas Stars, the hockey team, right? Their first employee, and he kind of was in charge of branching them out to show Texas what hockey was. And then he worked with F1 Racing or something of the other for Austin, Texas, right? If you would have brought him 6-7 years ago, you would have had a lot of upset people with Envy saying, like, who the hell is this Jeff guy? Why is all of a sudden he becoming a president of a esports organization? He hasn't earned his way at all, right? This dude would have made fun of us 6 years ago, and now you're going to give him a president spot? And I think that really sat... It didn't sit well with a lot of people. I remember... Oh, I don't know all the details, but I remember like 5 years ago, somebody, some league hired like a former Fox Sports executive.
Oh, I do. I recall.
I remember the headlines, but people were pissed about it, saying like, you're going to bring in this traditional sports monkey in here and he thinks he knows esports and blah, blah, blah. And whether or not that failed or not, that's besides the point. It's the attitude about it, right? Because that same attitude led with investors. Well, these investors don't know what they're doing, right? How are you going to hire a movie studio or whatever to invest for us when they don't know anything about esports to begin with? And I think that that mentality is definitely switched, where I think they finally kind of swallowed that pride and said, okay, you know, we do need to look on the outside if we really want to know how to bring in the outside money.
Yeah, I mean, they made smart business decisions, although they weren't popular decisions, right? Like, we've kind of seen that across the board. And so, again, we talk about this bubble bursting, and I just don't see that ultimately being the case here. I think we're still going to see growth in terms of esports. It's just the money is going to shift a little bit, right?
Right.
Like, I think you're going to see a scale, right?
The scales might adjust, like you just said, shifting. You might see an esports shift, but again, I think if I was a smaller org, that's where I would be worried about, right?
Wait until TV deals really come into play. Like, right. That's where a lot of this money is going to ultimately come from when, you know, I don't think it's an if, I think it's just a when it goes more mainstream. Like, we really haven't seen, like, although esports in our mind is mainstream, and it is in terms of popularity and numbers and all that, you haven't seen that shift go from, like, online media to, like, actual traditional TV media. It's found a really hard time doing that. When and if that happens, you know, the money is going to become outrageous again. Like, you just look at TV deals for sports teams right now. Look at what the Yankees and these guys bring in with their own networks. It's insane money. So we haven't really touched the tip of it. Again, I think there'll be a correction coming sooner rather than later. But still, I mean, I want people to know that I still think there is a ton of opportunity for esports to grow long term.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's... You know, I think some teams might feel it more than others with the way they've set themselves up. As we mentioned, you have teams that have really kind of set up the foundation first and now they're branching out. And then you have some teams where, you know, they buy two multi-million dollar gaming homes and set up their people and not take money from contracts, right? So you might see some orgs take it harder than others. Some orgs you're going to see go away. I think this might hurt the grassroots more than others, just because I think that's where the money really struggles, right? You're going to have the top scene. That's where all the sponsorships want to go. But that grassroots is going to have an issue. And again, I think teams are just going to have to also get with their players and be like, look, if you want this to succeed, we're going to have to adjust not just how we do things, but how everyone does things in the organization.
Grassroots will always find a way to succeed in the fighting game community.
Well, that's the whole thing.
They'll
on.
Always have their home there, right?
It's funny too because you bring up the fighting game community, and that's also a scene that's completely different, right? Because the orgs in there are typically just fighting games, or more heavily, right? And you're looking at one player. It's easy to sponsor the player. That player can easily make his own brand. Look at Mango, right? How much C9 fandom has he brought in?
Zero, Tempo, Sonic Fox, like these guys are brands on themselves. Like they are the brand ultimately.
Yeah. And the other thing too, you got to look at esports that differs from like traditional marketing, right? Is a lot of these guys can do it themselves. I mean, look at what Shroud, right? The second Shroud was no longer under contract with C9. He had his entire branding ready to go. His entire marketing was ready to go.
Also a unique situation being Shroud, though, right? Like, Shroud is also the 1% of the 1%ers.
Right, right. But even, like...
I do think you're right, though. A lot of them will have their own branding and are able to do that, but Shroud's
but that's
also
what I'm
an
saying.
Outlier.
So, like, look at a Tfue situation, right? I think, ultimately, what you could do in that situation is do like a profit sharing thing that's better for the org, right? If you wanted an org friendly deal, Tfue would take less money, but knowing that FaZe is doing all the legwork as far as content producing, editing videos, pimping him out, right? And all he does is play games. But he realized, like, wait a minute, I know how to do all that. I know how to edit video. I know how to do things now. You know,
or he can hire his own team.
Exactly, right? So it's not like, and so he leaves, and now because all the sponsorships want Tfue, they don't care that FaZe is with them or not, right? Those sponsors are going to follow Tfue. So, you know, that's it's a different animal. It's going to be fascinating to see like marketing classes in college, like down the road. I'm sure we'll discuss this Twitch boom era that we're in, where, you know, how do you market? How do you monetize something that people have never paid for? And how do you gently get them to pay for it?
It's kind of interesting to even see what the franchising model does to this whole scenario also, and how it kind of shifts it. Again, there's just...
And, you know, I think you and me are on the same page too, where, like, you know, I'm a fan of franchising. I understand some people aren't, and I understand their logic behind it. But
I think franchising works in like certain esports. I'm one of those that's like still a little bit of a purist, where I never want to see Counter-Strike go to franchising. I think that would be like a terrible model for CS to go to franchising.
But you also have like CWL fans, right? Where it's like, what do you mean you're not going to have Optic or FaZe in the, you know, like to take these? And one of our listeners actually said it pretty well to me earlier in the week, saying that, you know, it's almost like, hey, all these orgs and all these guys that like are on the bottom, right? Or maybe can't afford to get into franchising or are afraid of franchising, or not afraid. Afraid's not a right word, but, you know, getting involved with it. Like, hey, thanks for setting this up for us perfectly. Now pay us $30 million to get back in. Where it's like, for those orgs, it was like, you're not going to throw us a freaking bone, dude. Like, we've been, we made you, right? Like what would Call of Duty be without these teams? Right?
It's true. Like, what would Call of Duty be without Optic, right? Who knows where Call of Duty would be? But at the same time, like, the difference between Counter-Strike and Call of Duty is, like, Counter-Strike's profitable year-round. Like, these tournaments do well. Pretty much there's a tournament every couple of weeks that catches your eye, right? Now, it's not an every week thing. There are the in-between ones. You think of, like, the DreamHack Summer Open that just took place. Like, who the hell was watching, you know, this most recent tournament? Probably not many people, but there's enough big name tournaments throughout the year to keep you interested, where I don't think Counter-Strike needs to shift. Also, it'd be hard for them to make up a lot of that lost money. For Call of Duty, who the hell watches Call of Duty outside of a CWL event? Like, there's nothing that entertains me within Call of Duty outside of those like four or five tournaments a year, you know? And it's really, I say a year, those all kind of take place in like a 6 month span for the most part. I have no interest in Call of Duty outside of that. So I think Call of Duty is one of those games that has a ton of potential and a ton of room to grow, but they have never found a way to monetize it. They've never found a way to promote other teams besides the Optic Gaming and like the FaZe. Those are the two staple orgs. Everybody else is kind of like a rotational, okay, who's the new org in town and what players, you know, did they essentially pick up to make themselves relevant? And so I think franchising will be huge for a game like Call of Duty. I think you're about to see a spike come in that esport and see a lot of revenue growth there, where if that came to Counter-Strike, I think it would do the complete opposite. It would totally F up the whole system. So I still think there's just so much room for growth within esports. So a lot of these people that are talking about the bubble bursting, I think there's a correction again. I'm going to keep using that word because I just don't think it's like, it's going to pop and we're going to have to start from the ground up and find a way to make it work. There's just, I think we're finding ways to make it work. Will it maybe initially take a hit early on, but see long-term growth off of it.
Doug in Twitch chat brings up pay-per-view.
Good Lord. What 13-year-old Doug is going to pay for pay-per-view? You have to get mom's credit card. Like, just not going to happen. Like, it would be a very tough situation. It would be a hard sell. Like, is there any esport right now that you could think of where you would pay $20 to watch an event?
I don't think so, because I don't even pay for cable. First off, I get all my sports illegally from the internet. So I would definitely just find a way to watch esports illegally. But that being said, like, I do pay for the Overwatch League bonus package, so that way I can, but that's different, right? Like, I'm getting features.
You're getting in-game content though, right? Like, you're going to be getting like a, like, you look at the international is a perfect,
yeah, you're willing, like, to pay for extra.
Everyone's paying, like, that's how the whole damn thing is made, is people are paying, but they're paying for the in-game content. They're not paying to necessarily watch the show. So again, I'm excited to see where the growth in esports is going. I mean, we are seeing growth, you know, even at a podcast level. It's not like we're seeing a deterioration, like, oh man, the interest isn't there. The interest is there. It's just figuring out a way to monetize it, how to monetize it properly, making it sustainable, making it work for companies outside of esports. Like, we mentioned State Farm. We see them kind of plastered all over the place. MasterCard, like, keeping these big players in there and making them, you know, feel profitable and you know, happy to be in the game.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks, months, maybe years. I don't, you know, that's the thing. It's everyone keeps saying this bubble's going to pop, and yet they don't really give a timetable. So we'll just have to see. And, you know, Anuj keeps saying correction. I think shift, it might be a trickle, right? You might see it more slowly happening with certain orgs. But that being said, I think esports has definitely matured a lot too in the last 5 years. So I think that you're seeing more and more orgs kind of prep for the worst, if that's the right way to kind of phrase it.
A business model in place now, right? Like,
yeah, I guess that's right. It's more of a business. That is correct. So we'll see what happens there. But to get on to the next topic here before we get to e-news, Smash Summit 8 was over the weekend. Easily one of my best esports, or my favorite esports events of the year. Of course, we talk about it all the time. The summit events are great. They get all these pros and stick them under one roof. And it's basically, it's a bunch of goofs, gaffs, and laughs. I really don't know how to explain it.
It's guys coming over and playing a game. That still makes it feel like grassroots, right? It's one of the few events you get throughout the year where it doesn't feel like mainstream media, you know, inside of a venue that holds 10,000 plus people. Like, this truly brings you back to early 2000s and kind of how we grew into the esports scenes ourselves.
Yeah. I will say, not a fan of the new location, though. I miss the actual house. I don't like this. This looks like it's in, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago for the CS Summit. It looks too fabricated.
Looks studio-ish.
It is a studio. That's the issue. So at Smash Summit, they always play Mafia late at night, which is just the best to watch, right? I stayed up till, I think, 1 o'clock and on a work night, and I was like, I gotta go to bed. But even then, like, they were like in an actual like living room playing Mafia, right? And now it's like, you could tell, it's like you hear people talking in the background, the camera pans a little bit to the side, and you see the walls that they built to make it look like they're in a living room. But it's just a giant warehouse, I think, with little studio pods here and there. So kind of ruins the vibe a little bit, but it was still fun. It's just, I don't know. Go back to the house, but I understand why you're not. So don't listen to me. What do I know? But this was an amazing event. Much like CWL, the bracket stage was just nuts. So to get to the final single bracket, you had Leffen, Axe, Wizzy, IBDW. Those were the brackets going into it. So you already had a lot of upsets going into it, even though you did have Mango win doubles, so take that for what you will if you're a Mango fan. Him and S2J ended up winning doubles. But the big story here is Axe ended up taking first. This was the first time not only has a Pikachu main won a major event, but the first time Axe has ever won a major event. All right? And on top of that, Wizrobe, Wizzy, got second place. So the fact that those two were in the finals just speaks to a lot of how you can teach an old dog new tricks, right? Like, people think Melee's been around forever. The Melee gods will always be the Melee gods, and you will never, ever be able to dethrone them. Except for the top four for here were Axe, Wizzy, Leffen, IBDW. Hungrybox got fifth, sixth. Plup, who I consider I think can be a top five player at any given moment, got seventh, eighth. Mango was all the way down in 12th place. So it's like, you did have these top guys there. This wasn't, again, this is a major event for Smash. This is not DreamHack Dallas, right? Where the pros don't go there. They go to Smash and Splash, right? So this was a big event. The fact that you had Wizzy, who just actually won Smash and Splash a couple weeks ago, that was the first time you saw a Captain Falco player win. Falcon.
He doesn't have a team either, I believe. No, right?
That's he's orgless. He used to be with an org, and then contract, I guess, ran out. And so he's orgless. So he went from first and second place in back-to-back major events, without an org. Axe has been with Tempo Storm for a very long time. So it's crazy that, you know, for the longest time, and again, this isn't like breaking the mold or anything, but it is proving that it is possible, which I think is the big thing to take away from this, is you don't have to be a Fox main or a Falco main or...
You didn't even have a Fox in the championship run there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you had Pikachu versus Falco in the finals.
Yeah, you had Pikachu versus Captain Falcon. So it's just insane that... Yeah, it's crazy to me that you still have Melee growing, right? It just proves the resiliency in it, that it's just you don't need a 80 character roster like Ultimate. Not bashing Ultimate, love the game, but you just don't need that for still having like surprises come up. I mean, you have back to back major tournaments with back to back first time player winners and first time character winners.
Now, why aren't these tournaments holding Ultimate as like part of the run here? Like, why isn't it featured at this point?
So Summit does have their own Ultimate Summit.
Okay.
So that's a big reason for Smash.
They just separate them.
They're like, look, okay, we don't need both scenes in here. They like to treat one as its own. Evo, of course, this year, the big story was just completely dropped Melee. They don't even have Melee at Evo. So that's a big thing. They said they just want to focus on Ultimate. This year, Melee can always come back. Again, we discussed this on the podcast. You could go back and listen to the episode when that news was announced. We discussed if Evo needs Melee or vice versa, and the answer was no to either one, right? They both have a sustainable viewership. And again, you do have these. A lot of the tournaments have both Ultimate and Smash. Ultimate and Smash. Ultimate and Melee.
Yeah. Are you seeing a lot of crossover between players right now?
You are. You do see some Melee players playing Ultimate, not nearly as successful, but they're still doing it because I think they realize that the money's there and why not. But I still just think it's so difficult from a storyline standpoint to get away from the Melee scene because you know all those guys. You know, they have history. So I just think it's really hard to get rid of Melee. So that's what it is. But I do have some audio here. So one of the big things about Summit is that, they like their little bits that they do. So this is one of their bits. And I know you didn't watch, so this is your first time hearing it. H-Box singing about how he's stalling. Great. And then here's like another CGI version of walking on stage. Great. And so that's him singing about, like, you know, making a joke about how he stalls out and on fights, which is a knock on
Biggest
HBox
reason he is hated from everybody, it feels like, but it's fantastic that he did. That's awesome.
Yeah.
First of all, great movie. If you haven't seen The Star is Born, go watch it.
I have not.
Very good movie. It's a good movie. Okay. Did you understand the reference?
Oh, yeah. I get the song. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, and it's a song, blah, blah. Yeah, I got the reference. I'm hip. I'm cool, dude. Sure. I'm caught up with pop culture. Please don't insult me like that. But
that's pretty awesome, though. Was that HungryBox actually singing that?
Yeah.
That's legit. That makes it. Now I need to go watch this YouTube video.
Yeah, Google.
Tweet this out if you don't mind. Throw this on our Twitter. I want people to go check this out.
I will tweet it out on our Twitter after the show because it's great. And again, the fact that he just doesn't take himself too serious, right? Again, he used to, though. Like, don't get it twisted. H-Box used to be a real stick in the mud, and some people say he still is, but at least he can finally make fun of himself with this and the crab situation and everything there. Brandon asks in Twitch chat, or he makes a point saying, did someone pay someone to not have Melee at Evo? No. That would almost infer that Nintendo cares about their esports scene enough to pay to have Ultimate being the main stage attraction. And we all know Nintendo don't care.
At the end of the day, I'm probably going to be hated in the FGC scene for this, but I want them to push Ultimate. Like, I want Ultimate to be the game, because I want it to be kind of like what everybody is playing, you know? Like, I want it to be the new... I get it. There's so much love and loyalty for it, and, like, let Melee stay grassroots in my eyes. But from a mainstream perspective, and we talk about the growth of esports, I want Ultimate to be the game that helps push it and drive it into, like, where the FGC scene needs to go. Like, that scene has its own struggles, right? They have a hard time finding growth. It's the same people, for the most part, year in and year out. I know we discussed a couple of new winners here today, and that's exciting for it. But in general, it's like three or four guys that you consistently see from the Melee scene. So I would like to see, you know, Ultimate kind of take off and help revitalize the FGC scene, even though it's not the most popular opinion.
It's still just a shame, though, that Nintendo, they care more than what they used to. But even then, like, we just had the Nintendo, whatever they called it, World Championship, I think, something generic like that, where they had, like, Splatoon and ARMS and all their games at this one event. And yet, for Smash, they still had, like, items turned on and everything, which is why we didn't even bring it up on the podcast, because it's like, Nintendo,
what are you doing?
I don't understand. We have created this game and formula for you, right? Like, we set it all up. All you got to do is host it.
You literally have to copy and paste. I mean, you have everything laid out for the way the community plays it, the way it's done, the way everybody tends to play it, and yet they're kind of just stuck in their own world. Maybe this new CEO of theirs, what's his name? Bowser?
Yeah, that's the CEO for the America, Nintendo America, which I guess, you know.
I'm sure he's got some
still,
say.
Still,
you know?
President of something, right? He's not intern or something. What if a Japanese intern at Nintendo outranks the American president?
Like, the dude's a student in high school. He's there for like 3 months only.
Right, but because he works for the real Nintendo in Japan, they just look down at the American president. Ace brought up in Twitch chat here, he says that, I think the future of esports is brighter than you guys talk about. It's only growing, and $50 million arenas does not happen inside a market that has a cloudy future. I agree. I mean, I don't think, you know, me and Anuj were talking, I don't think we were saying that. I think
we're all on the same side here. I think we all see a lot of growth opportunity. I think we see a correction coming just because the money is a little outrageous, but that doesn't mean the money is going away. It's just going to get shifted into areas that make more sense.
Right.
Prize pools and all that will still be there. Prize pools are not, it's sponsors generated, and those sponsors aren't going anywhere. I think this is more of organizations finding a way to make positive changes, to be run like a business versus,
I bet you,
run like a clout gang, like you see with a lot of the mid-tier orgs right now.
And also, a last note on Ace's comment there is that, you know, what teams are building $50 million stadiums? It's the teams that bought into franchising. Because what does franchising allow you to do? Create a revenue stream, right?
Yeah.
Overwatch has some form of profit sharing, which obviously helps. But again, like we've said, the reason I love geological teams is because I can't tell you how many friends of mine or people I know that are willing to watch a Dallas Fuel match just because we live in Dallas. They don't, you know, yeah, I've played Overwatch a few times, blah, blah, blah. Well, you want to watch this match? Well, I don't know. It's the Dallas Fuel are playing. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go check it out. You know, and that's how it is. But if I was like, bro, you know, Envy is playing, they'd be like, I don't.
What does that mean to me?
Why do I care? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, they're based in Dallas. Okay, like, again, why do I care? But you throw in a franchise league like that, and that might also just be our North American mentality, right? It's what we know. I'm sure Europeans, I would love to know, maybe they have a different mentality as far as that goes, but yeah.
Well, soccer is the perfect example for the European side. Like, it's all city-based.
Right.
You see how that works.
That's true. They have no issues with it. Yeah, I mean, it's still city-based. It's just a different type of league, I guess.
Complexity branding the way they are with the Dallas Cowboys are now tying themselves to the Dallas market to a certain extent.
Right.
I think all of these teams are kind of finding different ways to be profitable in an industry that's very saturated right now, you know, and you're seeing kind of the big dogs and the teams that are moving into a more business-like approach are the ones that will ultimately prevail here.
Yeah, I said this, I did a live radio show on The Ticket, the radio station I work at here in Dallas on Wednesday when we did our E3 recap. So I said this on the air, not a big deal, that, you know, esports for the most part is still the Wild West, right? You have little pockets of society, right? And these little towns built up that all function the way a good functioning town should work. But then in between that is still just outlaw country, right? It's where the cowboys roam. Well, what happened to the Wild West? Normal society caught up to it. And what happened to the cowboy? They've gone away. So that's, it sounds cheesy, but I think that's exactly what esports has to worry about, right? For these teams that are just so dug in thinking, well, we're still going to do it our way. All right, that's fine. But just be prepared to where if you are in the minority or if sponsors aren't willing to go with you because you're just on your own when they could go with this franchise and not only sponsor them, but be recognized in a city, right? Like how important that is for them.
Complexity just partnered with like the U.S. Army, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like I think Army is like their new sponsor that they just announced.
And you
recently.
Think they would have done that had they not been with the Cowboys?
No chance.
Exactly.
No chance.
So it's you know, it's a give and take.
One
it's
of those
a give and take
that
ultimately.
Was like struggling until they made proper business decisions, right? Like they were really, you know, a name that had a lot of like history behind it. But in terms of an esports org, we're probably, you know, in many minds struggling. And then they struck a deal with the Cowboys. Now they're partnered with GameStop, the Army. I mean, they're announcing a different partnership. It feels like every day out there. And so the organizations that do it right and evolve are the ones that are ultimately going to be left standing when it's all said and done.
Yep. So again, that's a great point by Ace in our Twitch chat, bringing up, you know, how from... larger picture, esports is still doing fine. I think as viewers, we probably, and fans, we probably won't see as much, right? You're probably looking at players taking a hit with contracts and teams refiguring out how they want to divvy up the profits and things like that and how to gain more profit. And that might be, hey, look, dude, you're part of our stream team. We can't pay you six figures anymore. Like, it's just not feasible. You're not bringing in that money. So we'll you know, again, that's all part of the adjustment. It's all part of the shift that's going to happen. And that's not a bad thing, right? Again, just because a part of the industry fails doesn't mean the industry is failing. I'll say one more thing and we'll move on to esports is look at football.
E-news.
E-news.
Hopefully we're doing esports.
We're doing esports all the time. We'll move on to e-news here in a second. But one thing I want to bring up before this is look at football, okay? Everyone here in the States, anyways, football, you would think is a surefire bet, right? Like I'm a God-fearing American. Of course, I'm going to love football, right? Rock, flag, and eagle. However, what just happened with this AAF, the American Alliance of Football, they tried to start their own league, and it wasn't even competing with the NFL. Like they pretty much said like, no, we are going to be like a development league. Right,
a filler league. Yeah.
Yes, they've pretty much already came in admitting like, hey, Mr.
We're
gonna
be the Mountain Dew league.
And the NFL said, hey, we'll support you. They were showing their games on TV. Everyone was super excited for when it started. Their first day numbers were great. They lasted 3 weeks before having to completely dismantle the league and sell assets and cease all football operations. 3 weeks for what is supposed to be the top industry for sports in America, if you want to look at it that way. Now, does that mean football fails in America and sponsors should stay away from football? Absolutely not. Because guess what? We are like 2 weeks away from training camp for football, and I can't wait, right? So for the NFL and all that, what I'm saying is if one part of esports fails, that's to be expected. Not everything can be a home run. So it's just how you look at it, I guess, is really what it is. So I don't know. I've said my 2 cents on it. Anuj, do you have any final thoughts on that before we move on?
No, I think we've let it be known. Esports is going to be fine, boys and girls. It's going to be okay.
Let's get on to some e-news, shall we? Not a whole lot happened over the week, but we do have some CSGO to get to. Stanislaw replaces Daps on NRG roster. I'm going to give you credit.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think it was last episode you were saying that you weren't a fan of NRG and how they've been playing lately and Daps can't make it on the big stage. Like, I will give you credit. Dare I say NRG listens to our podcast?
Look, and it's funny because it's not getting, like, the most love around the esports, analytics scene. Like, they feel like Daps maybe didn't get a fair run at it, but I think it was a move that needed to be made. I think this is going to be a big step up for them because at the end of the day, Stanislaw can frag. Your IGL needs to be able to frag. We've seen this time and time again.
No longer do we live in the world where you can hide behind, I'm IGLing, therefore I can't kill.
You can't, and that's why it's such a tough position, and to find an active IGL that's on the market, like at the right time, is unheard of. So I think this was a great move for him. I think Stanislaw will do really well in the lineup. Ultimately, I thought it was just a move that needed to happen. They needed to find a way to change their approach between Ethan and Tarek and how they approach the game. Stanislaw has proven to play well with some of these guys in the past, so Tarek in particular while he was on Optic. So I think it's a good move. I think this will help them elevate their game. They're already a good team. They just needed to find a way to get over that hump, similar to Liquid over the past year, and this is one of those moves that can maybe propel them, so we'll see.
Daps also famously known for being the only player to ask us for money when we asked him for a liner.
And he got shot down, and we still got our liner anyway. One thing I want to add to the CSGO e-news, and I didn't write it on there. I completely forgot about it. So Ghost Gaming has released their roster.
Oh, that's right.
And for those that don't know, that's the lineup that has Steel on it. The notorious Steel. The big news there is they still have under contract, Kusta's on the team, is Wardell. Wardell is an amazing, amazing young talent in CSGO. And I tweeted this out earlier, and I'm going to throw it out here because obviously all these guys are listening to our podcast and make changes based on our recommendations. Cloud9 needs to find a way to pick up Wardell. And kind of a good segue into Cloud9, obviously, getting eliminated. What better time for them to do that than now? I think Ghost Gaming had a really good roster. They had some good talent on that roster, and
that's
are now
funny
available.
That you used the word eliminated because they were eliminated from the minors, so they are no longer. Yeah. They don't stand a chance to even make it to the major. Not even the fake major anymore.
And they had the spot. That's the most infuriating thing about this for Cloud9 fans is they would have been guaranteed their major spot had they kept their lineup, right? They let go of Zealous, Kyo, and Flesha. I think were the three that are no longer on the team. They needed to retain one of them in order to keep that spot. But they thought, hey, no, we need to make a change. We're not getting any better. Like, that's a temporary
roster.
And
the frustrating thing of all that, to me, is Kyo. Because Kyo, I still say, was wrongfully... Like, Flesha, you knew, was never going to stick around.
Kyo constantly gets this raw end of the deal, though, right? Like, you constantly see him being booted off of the roster, whether it's FaZe or Envy or, whoever the hell he's been with.
I agree. Cloud9 was not eliminated from the major. They were completely annihilated from the major. They lost to teams that
nobody's,
I've never even heard of.
Nobody's, dude. They lost to, like, trash teams in terms of when you talk about tier one teams, right? Like, teams you don't mention in those conversations,
like borderline throwing matches. Like, I have to believe that they got paid to lose these matches, There's no other explanation.
There was definitely skins on the line here, right? Like no, somebody wanted no to doubt. Do Dragon Lore. Yeah, no, it's really disappointing. I mean, Cloud9's going to have to shell out some money. Again, I think the Zealous drop was... I mean, maybe he wasn't going to work out ultimately, but why the hell did you pick him up for like such a short period of time and really not give like a young player a chance to grow? Whoever is running Cloud9 CSGO team needs to be running a tier 2 or tier 3 team because they don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's been one nonsense pickup after another.
Yeah.
They're not even a top 5 team in NA. They're a joke when it comes to CSGO right now. And the sad part is they have one of the best NA players in Automatic, you know, and
just letting it go to waste.
If they don't make a move, I hope Automatic gets out of this roster.
I do too. And that's coming from a Cloud9 fan, you know?
Yeah, it's a huge
Cloud9 homer. And I want to see Automatic succeed. And if Cloud9 isn't going to do anything to try to bring in... Because really, I mean, you think about it, the free agency fell in their lap. This is the time for Cloud9 to do it. You're out of the major. It doesn't matter what roster moves you make. All these other teams aren't going to sign these players because...
They're going
to the major, yeah. Right? So now this is your chance to get to these players before other teams do. Maybe you'll have to money whip them a little bit and get back into it and have time to practice and everything while other teams are focusing on the major. Now, the players, if they're smart, will pull a Taric and not sign anything until post-major. But, you know, because he did that a major two ago, so... But this is their perfect chance, right? They are the top team out of the major right now to talk to these players. That Ghost just freed up a roster. You know, Daps, you know, hell, might not be that great, but what do you
got?
But
at the end of the day, you could run him as an IGL. You pick up Wardell. Maybe you even somehow find a way to get, you know, even Acosta to give him another opportunity on a top tier team and pair him up with Automatic and Rush. At least... you can kind of see some sort of formation or something going on there. But, I mean, right now, again, they're not even a top 5 NA org at the moment anymore, which is crazy because, remember, 2018 was not that long ago where they were holding up the trophy in Boston.
Yeah. Optic Gaming ended up winning DreamHack Summer against Ancient, a very meh event. You know, we must admit they did not have top teams here or anything like that. But dare I say, Optic also is not a top CS team, so I guess it fits right in. The cool thing about this, though, is that this is Optic Gaming's swan song for Counter-Strike. Obviously, Optic being bought out by Immortals, which we said earlier is actually MIBR. So if they're going to host two Counter-Strike teams, which I don't think they're even allowed to for most events... They already said they're dropping them.
They're finally...
And, you know, again, it's nothing personal on that roster. It sucks for the players, but this is business when it comes down to it. But cool that they did win one more under the Optic name. Because really, they've been irrelevant. When was the last time we brought up Optic Gaming Counter-Strike on this show?
Same amount of times we should be bringing up Cloud9 at this point. Not very often.
It's very true. Very true. It hurts, but it's true. ESL Pro League starts tomorrow, or the finals, I should say, for Season 9 starts tomorrow. Quite a good turnout, I must say. You got Mouse, FaZe, G2, Astralis, all the typical Europeans. Heroic will be there. I feel like we haven't seen them in a while, but they will be there. NRG Esports will also be there. I wonder if Daps will be on that team. According to Liquipedia,
he's filling in
for one
last event, so I think that's probably it, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? According to Liquipedia, he is on their active roster for this event. So,
yeah, that sounds about right. I know he's filling in for one final event. So,
Luminosity will be there. MIBR will be there. That will be a fun who can outplay who in that one. I hope you end up seeing a Luminosity versus MIBR matchup at some point. Cloud9, Greyhounds. Tyloo makes their biannual appearance. So that will be a fun one.
Again, the fact that we have Astralis, FaZe, you know, Liquid, and NRG, you have a lot of the top tier teams here. I am excited to see Mouse Sports back in a big tournament. I feel like it's really been a while since we've seen that new roster with Frozen and some of these guys on the team. So a lot to enjoy in this tournament. And again, you have, you know, three out of the top five teams or four out of the top five teams there. So it's going to be a good one to watch. Right.
Also, might be not a bad time to use our new partnership with Thrive. Thrive Fantasy, again, we've partnered with them. They are a daily gambling site or app. You can sign up for it. Use the code TCR when you register. Your first $10 will be matched by $10. So in short, you get $20 for using 10. It's a no-brainer. And you can bet they've just added, they're starting to add more and more esports into their lineup. So sometimes you can even get in and bet for an esport event for free for the day. So go
it's
ahead and
DraftKings without the salary cap. So it's pretty cool. Like if you've ever played DraftKings before, you know it can get a little annoying to have to deal with the salary cap as you choose players and throw them onto different teams. There's no salary cap. So you truly make your own fantasy team of the best players available. And go at it. Go at it head-to-head with other people. So it's a lot of fun. Check it out.
So, and of course, though, gamble responsibly. Inu's music ended. That can only mean one thing, and it's time to go. But real quick, reports are Hex wants to buy out the Houston Outlaws and start his own gaming organization. Again.
It'd be great. I mean, I think it'd be fun. It'd make for some good news, right?
We'll see what happens there. And in other news, Rocket League Season 7 finals are also this weekend. So maybe we'll get a little Championship Sunday in next week as we recap ESL Pro League, the Rocket League Season 7 finals, and what else might happen over the esports week. But that will just about do it. Anuj, appreciate you coming for the show. But even more so, appreciate the listener for sticking around. Whether you listened to the whole thing or you skipped, I love you all the same. Love you even more if you stopped by our Twitch. Watch us live as we do every Monday for our show. Ace Nelson, love you. Thanks for stopping by. We had Phil in the chat. Money B.
The little Branderson sighting. Love it. Love it.
Who else? Doug. Doug was in the chat. What's up, Doug? Glad to have you.
Appreciate everybody stopping by. It's always a lot of fun to have some participation out there on Twitch. So
of course.
Always a good time. Appreciate you guys stopping by.
But that will do it for this episode. 162 is done. It's in the books. Again, appreciate everyone for stopping by. Hit us up on Twitter what you think of the show. Like, retweet, do all that fun stuff. Help out. We appreciate it. At the Center Ring. Join us in our Discord. Always talk about the events and everything live going on there. Next week, next Monday, we will be here. Talk about ESL Pro League and what else is going on. Who knows? But for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you.